Hello and welcome to episode.
Is that counting the last episode
still
as well?
Looking
then?
Up which episode tried, it is.
I thought I'd try and catch you off guard, didn't I?
Hi, Jim.
I am Ads. You're right. Episode 9. We think it's 91.
No, it is 91. And if you just waited for 30 blooming seconds, I could have confirmed it.
Well, we're in now, aren't we?
We are.
We're in.
We are.
But we are on episode 91. My name's Jim Middleton. It's a playthrough podcast. It's Tears of the Kingdom Part 2. And I'm here with Chris Worthington.
Hello.
And Mads Christensen.
Hello again.
Hello. Happy New Year, gents.
Made it
into 2025.
I know. Who would have thought it?
Who would have? Right. Before we dive in to some Legend of Zelda, quick waffle. I know we've only been, what was it? It was only a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it, when we did our Betwixtmas waffle.
Yep.
But yeah, you managed to squeeze any gaming in other than Zelda?
Yes and no. I finished another Zelda game, so I've squeezed something in.
Oh, nice.
Instead of just this Zelda game. So
I finally finished loads of stuff. What are you talking about? You've been playing loads of stuff.
I've been playing Legend of Zelda Oracle of Seasons, and I finally finished it. It's beautiful. Probably my favorite 2D Zelda, even better than
Over
the Past.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I agree with that. Yeah, I said that as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So that was good. Yeah.
Yeah. We really should do a Retro Asylum episode on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think we were going to, weren't we, initially?
Mm. We've been waiting for...
But then we weren't sure whether we were going to try and do both as well. And I burnt out halfway through seasons. No, time. Ages.
Ages. I would definitely recommend giving it a break before going into Ages. Ages is brilliant as well, Mads. I love that. But I reckon I would have benefited from 3 or 4 months rather than 2 or 3 weeks.
I burnt out because I went straight in. And I'd probably be all right going back to it now, but yeah.
I definitely need a bit of a break. I've loved it. It was brilliant. But that final very, very long dungeon at the end, I break there for weeks, maybe months before I picked it up again because that just became a bit too big and too unwieldy for me. So I'm glad I picked it up again and finally finished it. But it is a huge game, and I was really, really impressed with how much they crammed into the Game Boy Color game. It was
How much variation there is in the dungeons as well.
Like
each level is just so much fun. It's just so much fun to play. You know, the bosses weren't really frustrating, and. Although that final boss match in Seasons is really tough, isn't it?
That was a tough fight.
Really tough.
Yeah, that's probably the hardest fight I reckon in the I think that's even harder than the combined Ganon when you fight Ganon. If you play a Link game of Ages, you finish Ages and then you end up fighting Ganon. It's really hard.
I think I figured out playing this game. What I love in Zelda games is. Unlocking all the different abilities, the little adventure, finding out what to use where so you can advance, going through the dungeons. What I dislike is actually the boss fights. I find them gimmicky and annoying. So in the end here playing this, I had heavy use of save states because I didn't want to waste my time on the boss fights in the end. Because a Zelda boss fight, especially even in this game, which I really loved, so the boss fight is always a gimmick. You go in and you don't know how you hurt this thing. And then you can throw yourself at it 10, 15, 20 times before you figure out, it's this exact combination. I need to use this item. I need to do this. And I just don't find that funny. If the boss fight was go in, fight, die, and then a second later go in again, fight, die, I would like this kind of gameplay.
Yeah.
But I hate having to die and going all the way through that dungeon again just to try, okay, I'm going to try the flute this time. Oh, I died again. Oh, I'm going to try the shield this time. Oh, I died again. Oh, I'm going to try this. I mean, I actively dislike that about this other game. So I'm very happy that I played it on my analog pocket and I save state it just before I entered the boss fights.
Treat
and then I figured
a cheeky little save state.
I mean, I can see how that would frustrate, but I mean, you say that about most boss fights, though, can't you? I remember you saying you didn't like boss fights.
I don't like boss fights generally in games. We'll talk about a couple in Tears of the Kingdom, I'm sure, in a little bit. But I remember saying to you, remember when we played Silent Hill Mads in the game club?
Yeah.
Retro Asylum, you know, and I thought those boss fights in that game spoiled the game.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Remember that big moth on the building in the original Silent Hill? It was terrible. You know, Resident Evil, I think you could make an argument that that game would be better off without bosses. Feels like the video game.
The bosses in the original Resident Evil were horrible.
Terrible.
So you're right, yeah.
I mean, it's almost like, you remember until like about 1990, every single game had a point tally. Do you remember?
Yeah, yeah. But then I really liked that Resident Evil style boss in The Last of Us. Was it the Rat King or whatever it was? I feel like
the video games are evolving, right? Bosses, to my mind, should be either visual spectacle, which is a set piece, but not too mechanically challenging. I'm kind of leaving aside the Souls bosses because I absolutely blooming love the mechanical, really difficult Souls bosses. Mm. But I feel like that game is built around that, right? Like, you know, it's almost the point of it. Like, I feel like bosses, Final Fantasy 16, I think, got bosses really right. Huge, big, massive spectacles, which were just audio-visual treats, but were pretty simple to get through.
But most Souls game bosses, I mean, there's maybe one or two real ways of approaching them. They're vulnerable to some magic. They're vulnerable to some specific attacks. That's right. But you can actually hurt them in other ways as well.
Yeah.
So, the annoying part about a Zelda boss fight is you go in there and you don't even make a dent in it.
Yeah, because it's very 10, specific. 15,
20 times until you figure out, I'm supposed to do this.
Yes,
and when I finally figured out what I was supposed to do, all the fights were fairly easy, right?
Yeah, but you're almost scared to do that trial and error because you know you're going to have 15 minutes of wading through the dungeon to get
exactly. So that's why I decided no more of that. Just save state before I entered the boss fights.
Yeah, interestingly, it's in both Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, a checkpoint you right outside the boss arena, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. And I definitely needed that on one of the bosses.
We'll talk about that one.
Then I'm sure we'll get to that.
But apart from that, just one more little thing I played because I did my best to see if I could get rid of the Blue Menace, and I played the murder of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh no, man!
Spoilers: he doesn't actually die. It's all a ruse. But now I've played that as well.
Well, there's a new fan game out that's supposed to be really good, actually.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not a fan, you know, so I probably shouldn't play that.
You want to talk about Blattra?
Oh, man. I have a love-hate relationship with that. It's the gaming world's version of TikTok. You know, the kids, how they like watch TikTok, just 6-second videos or whatever. I've never been on TikTok, so maybe I'm just talking bullshit here. But just flashing through small clips of video, getting that serotonin boost, that's Blattra. There's no game there. It is so bloody stupid and mindless, you wouldn't believe it. But I can't stop playing it. I pick it up at night and I just play and half an hour disappears.
Yeah.
So. And you know me, I hate deck builders.
Yeah, have you played
this? This makes for terrible, terrible podcasting.
And I'm playing it as well.
I'm playing Blattra.
I've still never played it.
Stop, just don't do it. It's a complete waste of time.
It's a game of crack, isn't it?
It's got me. And I don't like that building.
I don't know if you've done this, Jim, but you can set up the speed so it goes faster so you get your serotonin boost faster.
No, I've not done that.
I've sped up everything so it just runs as fast as humanly possible and I just sit there like a total complete zombie flicking through cards.
But do you know what all the cards do? Because there's like all these jokers and stuff in there.
Fairly simple game. You need to, whenever you start, you get some jokers and then you build your strategy around those jokers.
Yeah.
You have some hands you like to make strong or whatever, and you build your strategy around those jokers. But no matter how good you are and no matter how far you try to plan ahead, there's still the luck of the draw. You can easily go to the last battle and then you've won everything like with double amount of points and then you lose in a second. So... it's so annoying. I hate this kind of deck builder, if I'm honest. I like deck builders where it is skill-based 80% of the time, 70% of the time at least, and then the luck of the draw is just a little part of it. This is totally skewed the other way around. There's 10% of skill because it's so simple.
Sounds like you're talking about Hades. Isn't that exactly what you said about Hades?
I like this.
Yeah, there was more skill than Hades. I just didn't have that skill.
There's no flobberdoodle goblin cards and stuff like that that you need to know what they're doing.
Nah, true. Yeah.
Those damn flobberdoodles.
Those flobberdoodles, they'll get you.
Yeah. But if I have, if I should say just one thing to anybody listening, don't play Balatro. It's so stupid and so addictive.
I'm enjoying it. It was my first deck builder. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, that's good.
It's a gateway drug, Jim.
Yeah, yeah.
No more.
What about you, Chris?
So I have been playing Half-Life 2 over these past couple of weeks. Started it just before New Year, partly because I was going away for a few days over New Year, so wanted something to play on the Steam Deck. Playing a PC first-person shooter without a mouse and keyboard on the Steam Deck. It's
beautiful. I played that on the PlayStation 2 back in the day.
Mate, that's such
an you can't play Half-Life 2.
I did.
With a controller.
Yeah.
Oh, disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, I originally played it on the Xbox, but this is the third time I've played Half-Life 2. I don't need to tell anyone, do I? It's one of the greatest games of all time. It's certainly my favorite first-person shooter of all time. It's a lesson in masterful pacing of, you know, the swells in the action with a bit of downtime with a puzzle, you know, then drift feeding you a new weapon. They're putting you into a scripted set piece, a bit of story. I mean, it's brilliant. It's got it all. It is just an expertly paced 16 hours worth of gameplay. It's fabulous. I love the game. And I had an absolute blast. I couldn't stop playing it. We were away and it was like, I'll just half an hour more. I mean, even like the boat bit and the, you know, I think that gets a bit of heat, doesn't it? If some people don't like the bit on the, you remember the riverboat.
Yeah, I like it.
Madsen.
Yeah.
Even that, I really, you know, I've really enjoyed it. But I've never played the episodes.
I just remember I got it wrong. I played the original on the PlayStation 2 and I played Half-Life 2 as part of the orange box that had all the episodes on the Xbox 360.
Well, I was going to say, I didn't think Half-Life 2 got a PS2.
Yeah, that's how I played it, yeah. Still on a control pad, obviously.
Yeah.
Half-Life was my very first Steam game. Wasn't Steam actually launched with Half-Life?
Half-Life 2?
Well, Half-Life 2.
Launched with Steam, yeah. It was a bugger's muddle, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, nobody could download that. A lot of people were still on dial-up modems then. Steam couldn't cope with the amount of concurrent users. And I think it took most people about 4 days just to download the thing. So I started this morning, a little session before work. I started episode 2, finished episode 1 last night, and started episode 2. I'd never played the episodes.
So I actually only ever played the first episode for some reason. I love Half-Life 2. It's one of my favorite games as well. Definitely my favorite FPS. But I played the first episode. The second one, I think you start in like kind of like a cellar.
Nah, you start so at the end of episode 1, spoilers for Half-Life 2. But at the end of episode 1, you have that train. Don't I remember, like, you're on a train going out of City 17 and the Citadel basically explodes and it destroys the train, and that's how episode 1 ends.
Okay.
Episode 2 starts exactly there. You're in the wreckage of the train.
Okay.
And Alex helps you get out.
Yeah, I just have this vague recollection of playing some episode and never getting through this parking lot cellar thing.
That's in episode 1, that parking lot. Yeah, it's difficult, man. The end of episode 1 is actually quite difficult.
I think I've never finished the episodes then. I need to play those at some point.
Yeah, I mean, episode 1 is about 4 hours.
Okay.
Episode 2, I think, is about 50% longer, so it's about six or seven hours.
Hmm.
So combined, they're almost like a sequel, but they obviously never did episode 3, which is a damn shame.
Yeah.
But all this is geared towards playing Half-Life Alyx. Which I wanted to do. But to be honest, I mean, Half-Life Alyx, I could barely remember who Alyx was. So I wanted to play Half-Life 2 to to remind myself just you know who Alex was. And I love it. I think it's a brilliant game. And in November last year, Valve, so if you don't own the episodes, which I'm sure absolutely everybody owns, everyone must own Half-Life 2 and its episodes by now. If you have access to Steam, you'll have it. But they did, so they gave a free update for Half-Life 2, which added a commentary track, a group of devs kind of sitting there so you can play through the game with them. But they also added episodes 1 and 2 to the original game. So now it's just one game. You boot into Half-Life 2 and you can choose Half-Life 2, episode 1 or episode 2. Which is quite nice, having everything just in one package. And I've loved it. And a couple of sessions and I should have finished episode 2. I think it's a truly great experience. That's been filling my time, really. Other than that, I've just been dabbling with a few bits and pieces. I had a dabble with a game called Maquette on the Steam Deck. Have you guys? It's an Annapurna published.
I've heard of it, but I can't picture it.
Yeah, I mean, think things like, have you guys ever heard of Manifold Garden?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a bit like that, like a 3D kind of first person and a bit of like surrealist puzzle game.
It was like a level-based puzzle game, wasn't it, that Manifold Garden? Was that right? And you work your way up through the levels? Was that right?
More like a, no. No, you did go up and down, but... it's similar kind of game. They gave it away with PS Plus a couple of years ago. I picked it up on the Steam Deck because it was on sale. And I was having a little bit of a dabble with that. I mean, that looks nice, but it's not something I'm going to play. Just you know, like I had half an hour before bed. I was just looking for something to boot up that I didn't want to get into. So fine.
Yeah, this is it, isn't it? When you're playing something like Zelda, you loathe, aren't you? Well, I am anyway, to start another big game. I keep seeing... Paper Mario Thousand Year Door. Yeah. I sat there in my little sort of travel case with my Switch, and I keep seeing it, and I'm like, I can't do that.
Well, I thought that before I embarked on 30 hours of Half-Life 2. So
true.
But
yeah.
I got to the 40 hours before Christmas, so I knew I'd have a good couple of weeks before we recorded. So I wanted something to fill it.
Yeah.
What about you, mate? What have you been doing?
Yeah, so a bit of Balatro, surprisingly. And then I've just started a game called Euphoria. So this is a sequel to an NES game.
Play some random games, don't you?
But this is proper my jam. So I was watching My Life in Gaming. They do like a yearly wrap-up review, year in review of everything they've played, and it came up on that. It's a 2D platformer with like Wonder Boy 3 sort of light Metroidvania elements.
Dizzy Mania.
It's short. It's like 3 to 4 hours long. Really cute graphics. And it just looks like... It's Sunsoft game as well, developed and published by Sunsoft. It just looks like my cup of tea. So I'm about, I don't know, only 45 minutes an hour.
An old game?
Tops. No, last year. March last year it came out.
Really? Sunsoft are still putting out games?
Yeah. Completely missed me by.
God.
Which is, that's why I love all these like yearly wrap up.
Yeah.
Videos and stuff that you get and podcasts. Because you miss even, I like to think, I've got my ear down to ear to the ground, but obviously you miss so much. And then it's just, you see these little clips of a game, you think, oh, I'll give that a go. And it was on sale. It's like $9.99 or something on the Switch eStore. So it's like perfect. So go check that one out.
Euphoria 2.
Yeah.
Interesting.
If nice. That's your thing. But mostly Zelda. Mostly Zelda. Well, normally we'd say where did we get to last time, but we kind of did the intro, didn't we? Up in the on the Sky Islands, hit Hyrule, had a bit of a frolic in Hyrule, and that was our 10 hours up.
Yeah.
And so then the idea was to play to 30 hours, so another 20 hours, and then get back together. But we kind of moved the goalposts a little bit on that. We burned through it a lot quicker, didn't we, those hours than we thought we were going to. With it being Christmas and stuff, I think we all thought, well, we might struggle for time, but we all burned through it. And we ended up, then we moved the goalpost to 40 hours. So we're all an extra 30 hours in now from that intro section.
Mm. Yeah.
So I reached the goal of 40 hours on the 25th, I see. So
yeah, you got through before all of us. Yeah,
you're on 45 hours, I noticed, Matt. So am I, I think, now.
Well, I did offer
to move. I haven't played since I sent you that screenshot that said 40, so I hope not.
Oh, okay, maybe not. I know. Effort. Mine has just ticked over to 45. I had to finish the dungeon I was in. I was in the fire temple.
Oh, it's a grueler. It's a grueler. We'll get to that. Are we all still there? We're all still loving it?
Yeah, my thoughts haven't changed. If anything, I'm kind of more into it.
Yeah.
And we've all approached it completely differently again. We have. So this is going to be fun.
We have. Shall we just give a quick overview of where we are? Don't go into it too deep. So I'll lead off. I've got the map fully uncovered now. We'll go into all these aspects a little bit more as we go through the episode. But I've got the map fully uncovered. I've got half of the story documented or uncovered, however you want to sort of call it, and I've finished two temples and obviously like numerous shrines. We'll go through some of our favorite shrines, I imagine. But what about you, Mads?
Yeah, so I've got the entire map and I've got all of the story, the memories, whatever you want to call them, those little pools,
tears,
you find
tears or something,
tears, you find those little pools. And I love the story. I mean, we talked about it earlier that we don't play Zelda games for the story, but I find that's actually wrong for this one because I really love the narrative in it. So I fell in love with that quickly. So I decided to do all of those stories. And I'd done like 7 or 8 of them before I met Impa, who told me that I was supposed to do it. And then I had a mission to do the last 4.
And her dialogue didn't change to reflect that.
I forget, mate.
Yeah.
I forget.
Yeah. I imagine it probably doesn't. So did you find, did you go to the Temple of Time then, Mads? And in the cavern there, the one that runs, did you go and find her? Because you meet her first.
Yeah, I went and found her down there, yeah.
Okay. And then you get the map, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. You get the map, and then I could quickly see the last 3 or 4 or however many I was missing. So I just
went
hunting for
those. This is the map that you have to photograph, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. The map isn't like a... it gives you like a general location, doesn't it, of the geoglyph?
Ah, it's quite precise. It's quite precise. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So, but it was easy enough. I just always went to a tower, got up into the heights, and then flew down to it. And the only thing I had a problem with was one of these geoglyphs was huge.
Yeah.
I mean, huge. Yeah. So it took me like 15 minutes to figure out where the damn pool was. Yeah. All the others have been really, really good and easy to find because there's always something that stands out and that's where it is. Yeah. But one of them took me forever to find.
But so I've got a question, read the geoglyphs. So I'm looking at my compendium now, which has got the stories that I've unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one is still question, question, question. So, and that, the second one is the intro cinematic, which you get given straight away. So I'm on the adventure log. It's under memories on the adventure log. And I've found tier one.
I'm missing one. I've got 2 and 3.
So are you missing one, are you?
I'm missing one. Then I've got 2 and 3, missing 4, missing
well,
5,
this is
got
it.
6.
So this is it. I'm missing one. 2 is the introduction cinematic. You don't need to find the geoglyph for that one.
I don't have number 1 either, so it's not one of the tiers. Yeah.
So I reckon, what do you reckon, that might be the end movie or something,
Possibly.
Yeah, because this one's at the check whether you guys had number 1.
But I'm still missing a few. Still missing like 5 or 6 in total, so even though I have all of the geoglyphs.
Yeah, so there's obviously going to be some story cutscenes.
Oh, really?
Which are,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I've only got 3 and 10, other than 2. So I've only found two geoglyphs so far.
So we can really spoil stuff for you, because I know where Scylla is and why she's there and what's happening there.
All sorts
of stuff.
Well, I think I know where she is. I mean, can we, if we've all got number 2 right, we can 2 and 3, we can talk about that. So I think we should probably sound a bit of a spoiler warning here, Jim, shouldn't we?
Spoiler warning then for the main storyline. This, if you don't want to have the main storyline, then fast forward.
God knows how long. probably not that long.
No, a couple of minutes. Couple of minutes.
So number 3 then is where she arrives in the past and she meets Raru, doesn't she? And the Queen.
Yep, Queen Sonya.
Yep. So that confirms to us that she is definitely, she has been, to coin a phrase, zapped to the past.
Yeah.
Yep.
I like what you did there.
And that's as far as I know, is that she somehow, what happened in the introduction is somehow when she fell into that void in the intro, she's gone back in time.
Yeah.
She's met Raru. And we know from the cutscenes that we get when we complete the main missions, the sage quests, you know, the dungeons, the temples, that she's rallying the troops, isn't she? She's going round to each of the old legendary sages and basically saying to them, Link, this swordsman called Link is going to come. You've got to help him when he does. And then the descendants of those sages are the ones who basically we help Tulin, is it, in the wind temple?
Yeah.
And the Goron bloke in the fire temple.
Goro.
Goro. Yeah, whatever it is. A Yonobo or something, isn't
Yonobo,
it?
Yonobo, I think it is, Yonobo of Goron City.
Of Goron City, yeah. So they're the descendants. So basically she's going back now and going to those legendary sages and saying, you've got to help him because when we sealed away the Demon King, he's going to, the seal is going to break. He's going to come back and you're going to, Link's going to need your help. That's about as far as I know.
Okay,
you could be ready to get your mind blown at around the end as well, because there's more. There's more, mate.
So you've enjoyed uncovering the plot, right?
Oh yes, I've loved it. It's really, really good, and I think I got lucky and got the final piece as the last one I picked up. So it's also I mean, a lot of it has come like in different positions, so I've had to piece it together in my head, but then I got the last one that tells me what actually happens with Zelda in the end, and I got that as the last one, which was just the perfect bow on the story. It was
unexpected,
for sure.
The story is kind of goes to unexpected places, does it?
Yeah, it surprised me at least. Yeah, loved it.
So, what did you actually seek out the geoglyphs then?
Yeah. I just whenever I was exploring, I've been spending most of my time exploring. I have only done a single temple, so I've been spending most of my time exploring and doing small side quests and so on. Yeah. And then when I was flying up in the air, when I saw the geoglyphs, I seeked them out.
Just go straight down
immediately. Yeah.
Yeah, and interestingly, you've done a different temple to the ones that me and Chris have done.
Yeah, I've done the Sora one.
Yeah.
I love that. That was really good.
What's Zora's Domain like? I can't wait to get... So my favourite part of any Zelda game, I love the music in Zora's Domain, generally.
Yeah. So Zora's Domain, the problem, I'm guessing I haven't really been to the other domains, really, because I've just been all over the map exploring, but I haven't really dived into the story in other places than the Zora's Domain, really, which I'm done with now. And I'm going to Rito Village right now, I think.
Okay, that's why I've not been there either.
The problem in... So I'm actually very, very close to the temple in Rito's domain, the air temple, I guess. But in Sora's domain, small spoilers, is that the problem there is that their water is being polluted by some sludge, and that you need to figure out what that is and help them with that.
Yeah. They all seem to be, so far, they all seem to be like an environmental...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, issue, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in the Rito village, they have the big storms, and I've just gone up through that, and I'm ready to enter the temple, I think.
That's it. In the fire temple, it's they're all eating marbled Goron rock rather than doing their mining.
Yeah, there's like this. It's almost like kind of this.
Death Mountain.
Death Mountain spewing out these rocks that are basically like catnip. Mm. For the Goron. So instead of doing their mining, they're all sitting there chomping on this kind of special.
Nice. Special
was it Red Rock Roast? It's called
Red Rock Roast or something like that. So I've just got to the point where, so in terms of where I am, Jim, I've just got to the point where I've basically my plan was to head northwest,
mm-hmm.
got to Rito. And then it was to work my way clockwise then around the map. So headed then, crossed that northern section, spent a long time in the snowy part of the map, a long time, sort of 25 hours in that little corner.
Yeah.
Went across then to Goron, which is obviously the kind of hot biome. Aaron Morpins put on Discord earlier that he finds that part of the map less interesting to explore. I kind of know what he means. There's a lot of like whereas kind of the western section where it's really cold, there's a lot of plains and everything, and a lot of it is it's much more easy to kind of navigate, whereas up in the mountains in the northeast, which I suppose is right, I mean there is it's a
well, you
lot,
need yeah you need your stamina bar, don't you, sort of increasing a little bit to be able yeah. to navigate it properly,
and there's
yeah.
lots of little nooks and crannies, and it sounds like he is just combing the yeah. map completely. And I imagine
Aaron, if you're doing it wrong,
but if you're trying to play it that way, it would be a nightmare because there's lots yeah. of little valleys and crevasses that you'd need to go into. Yeah, very difficult.
Yeah, I think, and I said this in the last episode, which was why we ended up doing it this way, was I think my best moments have always come from finding things by accident.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Rather than sort of going out and seeking things, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to use the main quest as a bit of a jumping off point, you know, just kind of focus on a quest, whether it be a side quest or a main quest, whatever I'm heading for. My goal is up. My broad goals are the main quest. So, got to Rito Village, did the Wind Temple.
Yeah,
knew yeah. I was heading over towards the Goron City, but was ready just to be sidetracked by anything and everything on the way there.
Yeah, yeah.
And just use that as like a broad, you know, as a broad waypoint, but just explore everything along the way, and then. Before you know it, 20 hours have gone by and you're not at your objective. But I did make it within, you know, 45 hours in, I have made it. So I've done two of the four.
Yep, same.
Temples now. But many, many things discovered. And I agree with you. The sense of discovery is where this game is really shines. I mean, finding a cave, you know, and I know the caves, there's lots of caves and,
yeah.
you know, it is easy to get fatigued by them, I suppose, a little bit, you know.
Have you guys figured out what you need, that little thing you get from killing that fluorescent monster in the cave?
Oh, these little snowflakes. No, I've still not.
Something.
Bubble something out there.
Yeah, no, I've still not figured that out.
I've talked to a guy who told me that there is somebody in one of the stables that you can exchange these things with, and I haven't found him yet. But I need to find that stable at some point.
Okay, well, all right. Well, I've got a couple of questions as well.
Yeah.
So that was one of them. I've still not figured out the blue snowflake thing.
Mm.
Chris, on the last episode, you mentioned Zonai battery length, how yours had increased from 3 to 4 slots. I've still not found anything to... I found the Zonai batteries that you can attach to equipment, but I'm still on 3 slots. How on earth do I get that to 4?
Yeah, me too. I haven't actually sorted out, but I haven't tried to upgrade that yet.
Yeah, I can't remember. Maybe was I talking about, you know, because you get those things that you can use, right, to refill the battery.
Yeah.
Are they called the Zonai cores or something?
You get the cores, don't you? You get the regular cores and the large cores, and then you put the small cores and the large cores, you put those into these little dispensers up in the Sky Islands. And depending on where you are, you'll get certain Zonai equipment. So you, if you're above...
No, but you can use those as well, as Chris says, to just to, like, you have a, something, you
just
to get more stamina.
Recharge.
Yeah, I think, yeah. I haven't used them like that, actually, but I'm sure you can.
So I think what I might have been talking about, Jim, was one of... So you could get... The large ones will give you, like, 5 battery sections as opposed to 3.
But only for single use, right?
Only for single use. Large Zonai charge. They're called Zonai chargers, aren't they? I'm just looking at my inventory now on the Switch. So I've got 94 of these Zonai charges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And 7 of the large ones. So the 7 will basically give you a bit. And I think that's what I was talking about. I don't think I've increased it to 4.
With
okay.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So okay. One more pickup thing you can pick up lots of, and I don't know what you need for, is the pose. I mean, I must have like 300 of those.
Yeah, no, I've not found a use for those.
Yes, I must have about 300 of those things.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I don't know. So these bubble gems, right? So I have met someone who did take some bubble gems from me.
Okay.
Do you remember, Mads, in Breath of the Wild, there is a guy called Kilton who you would swap monster parts with?
Yeah, I remember swapping monster parts with somebody, yeah.
And yeah, I remember that, yeah.
So I'm having to look at a guide, actually, because I do remember. So this guy I met in the Goron section.
Okay.
He, you might remember him from Breath of the Wild, guys. He had like that, like the balloons, the multicolored balloons, and he would move around the map. And if you saw like his little shop.
Yeah, yeah, I remember
you
that.
You could go over and get. So do you want me to tell you what you get?
No.
Okay.
I want to figure out myself.
Okay.
So you've got to take him to him.
Basically. So you come across him. You come across him on your travels.
It's funny that he's one of the moving salesmen, because I'm 100% certain that somebody I helped, an NPC I helped at some point to fend off some monsters, told me that you can use these bubble gems, you can sell them to this guy at a stable as well.
Yeah, I do know who you mean. I met that person as well, and I don't remember them saying this, but I do remember them saying there is somebody who will take them from you. So he gives you, this guy will give you something. And then he says, right, I'm moving on now. And when you find me again, I will give you something else. And I've not found him again.
Okay.
So cool. I don't know where he's gone. But what you get is something that was in Breath of the Wild and is, pretty cool and quite helpful. And it's quite fun. It's quite fun to use.
So speaking of Breath of the Wild, I figured out that I did actually, my horses did carry over, Jim.
Nice.
So
good, yeah.
I'm riding on Epona most of the time.
So how did you find them?
I just hadn't looked, mate. I just registered the horse I caught, and that's the one I used. I didn't check if there were any other horses, but they were. I've got, did you get the huge horse? Have you done that mission?
No.
I've got a horse that's like at least twice the size of the normal horse.
No way.
It's like I'm riding an elephant.
So is it faster?
I forget. It's got a lot of stamina, I believe. Yeah.
I have upgraded my horse because someone at some point tells you that the ones with like spots and a pattern are slow and haven't got much stamina.
Yeah,
and the ones that don't have a pattern are the fast ones.
Yep.
So I did manage to... It took a lot of stamina, but I did manage to soothe so I've now got a pretty powerful horse, but I'm scared of it. I'm scared of something happening to it. So
you gotta catch that huge horse. It's up where, if you remember, where the horse god used to be in Breath of the Wild.
Oh, God, no, I don't remember that.
Okay.
I'd have to have a look for that on the map.
So have you guys bumped into the person who tells you about the treasure that's been stashed? And then you get the little crosses on your map.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Have you found those things?
I found one, but there's another one where I've been standing exactly where the cross is, and I can't find any caves beneath it or anything like that. So I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do.
So I found all 3 caves, but in one of the caves, there's a boss, isn't there? There's a stone talus or something.
Hmm.
Do you know which one I mean? There's like a pool of water and there's a boss that I, you know, it's a boss that's got one of those, it looks like it's got the, like the luminous rock on its back. And
oh, yes, I couldn't beat him.
So I ended up leaving, I think.
Yes.
I did beat him after multiple going through all of my weapons and all of my bows. I must have used about 150 arrows on it. But yeah. I can't find the treasure in that cave.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, because when you do the, without spoiling it, when you do the fire temple, the ability that your companion gives you allows you to explore certain caves a little bit more.
Okay.
And I'm actually wondering what the Yonobo can do his thing, can't he?
Yeah, yeah. I've not used that in a cave.
Well, if the cave has one of those walls.
One of the walls?
Yeah, well, I don't want to say too much because of Mads, but if you, I reckon you can probably...
Oh, right, yeah. Sorry, yeah.
Well, I think you probably saw things that you could do with that without really knowing what they were.
Hmm.
Do you know what I mean? But now you would. Okay. So I'm thinking, because I got a thing that allows me to... gives me lightning protection. I've got a piece of armor that gives me lightning protection.
Yeah, I've got that, yeah.
Then you can go have a talk to the Hydra that killed me.
The rubber armor. Why does the Hydra use lightning?
Yeah. There's this three-headed Hydra, and it just fries me with lightning whenever
I
get close.
Is that the one on the bridge? I bumped into one on a bridge that made quick work of me.
I don't think it's on a bridge. It was in like some sort of like almost a fighting arena.
Right.
There you go. So I've got two. I've done two of them, but the third one, I can't find the cave.
Okay.
And it's not above you?
Oh, it could be.
In the Sky Islands?
Is there any caves on the islands, the Sky Islands?
I haven't found any caves up there.
There are treasure chests. There are treasure chests up there, because I've found a few. And I found what I battled one of those stone, what are they called? Like stone colosseums or something like that.
The flux constructs.
That's it. Construct. Beat one of those as well. Yeah. I beat one of those. That was tough.
So that was a stone construct?
Yes, up on the Sky Islands, yeah.
Okay. There's a really good version of that boss called the Flux Construct.
Yes.
You fought that, Matt?
Yep.
There is a ruin. Do you remember in Breath of the Wild the Lomite, like the labyrinth maze type ruins, the square ones?
Yeah.
Do you remember? Have you guys found any of those in Tears?
I've found one, yeah. I didn't enter it because I was going somewhere else, but I found one.
Yeah, I've seen the same. I've seen a couple of them, but I've not been in yet.
I love doing things and feeling like you're sequence breaking stuff. Like, it's one of the best things about this game, isn't it? Is that because you can... you can use your stamina. So I ended up frolicking round on these ruins up in the Rito area. Found one of these ruins. Managed to somehow get to the middle of it. Yeah, I was well out of my depth in there. But it kind of just found my way to the middle. It's really cool. It's a really cool sequence of puzzles. That you get to the middle, there's a shrine there. The shrines are used as fast travel points as well, aren't they?
Yes.
Gives you a shrine, allows you then to fast travel to the middle. You then get another thing to say, right, you now need to go to the sky version of this. There's an equivalent temple, another labyrinth, which is directly above it. It's really difficult to get to because it's cut off. So... I upgraded my stamina a bit, took some stamina food, had a kip in one of the special beds in the stable to give me even more stamina, managed to float across to this labyrinth. You had to get to the middle of that. That then plummets you down to the depths where there's another version of it.
Aye, nice.
In the depths, and there's a boss down there called the Flux Construct, and it's a puzzle boss. Because you have to use the underhand to remove the blocks from it.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
The one up in the Sky Island. I was pulling the blocks off and throwing them over the side of the island thinking, yeah, I've got you. And then obviously he welds them all back to himself.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, very clever. Yeah, very good.
So have any of you guys done some of the skydiving, by the way?
I've done a couple. Yeah, I've done a couple.
So you get the special – I've only done one, actually. Do you get the special armor? Or it's I think.
Yeah, the ones I've done, I've unlocked shrines. So I was up on I've got it written down, actually, Valor Island.
Okay. I was up in the sky somewhere. There's a challenge for skydiving where you're taught how to skydive. And if you beat the record with so and so much, you get this chest armor that makes you fly even longer when you're floating. That's my favorite pickup so far because I like flying around and exploring like that.
Yeah, so there more of those skydiving courses, are there? I've only done one of them.
I've only done one, but I'm sure there must be ways of getting some pants as well and so on. But
When I did that one on Valor Island, it unlocked a shrine, and then he asked me if I wanted to do it again for a piece of armor.
Yeah, that's it then. Yeah.
So for completing that, for that challenge I was just talking about, I was just looking it up, you get a piece of the Evil Spirit armor set. Which gives you a stealth boost. So if I wear that, I'm much quieter.
Okay.
And I use that all the time to creep into moblin camps.
In Breath of the Wild, I was always using the entire stealth pack, so you have full stealth. But actually, you guys are talking about having extra stamina. I haven't even upgraded stamina.
Have you?
At all?
No.
Oh, wow. I'm just short of a second full wheel.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So how many hearts have you got then, Mads?
10, I think.
Okay. Yeah. So you've only got... So I've got... I'm just counting. So I've got 10 hearts.
Okay.
And I've got, one short of 2 stamina wheels.
Yeah, same, same. 10 hearts, just one short of 2 stamina wheels. But then I've got 8. Yeah. I've got 8 tiers to cash in as well. Or are they called? Light, whatever they are.
I haven't got any. I think it's because of the way I've been playing it, because I've just been exploring, so I've not been doing as many shrines as you guys have. So I've got the 10 hearts, but I haven't upgraded stamina at all yet. So
are you cashing them in as soon as obviously you're obviously not, Jim. You're not making a beeline for the statues.
I'm cashing them in. I was at first. Now I'm doing it when I've got 8, and then I'll do 1 heart and 1 stamina.
So I'm definitely not, because I had a lot of them in my pocket. So I went from 4 hearts to 10 hearts.
But then, right, I went back to Lookout Landing.
It's definitely worth doing that.
Yeah. Back to Lookout Landing. Yeah. And I can't think what they're called. You know where you cash your your light in, basically, and then you get a heart or a stamina wheel. Now, if you burst through a little bit of the scenery, you break. There's a
side quest, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, go and check that out, Mads. There's a bad one of those.
Yeah,
a bad one of what? Oh, of the statues?
A bad statue. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, an evil version of the statue. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not really bad, but it is. Yeah,
it's reversible. It is reversible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. I'll need to check that out.
It's worth going back to Lookout Landing every now and again, though.
Mm. Yes, it is, because
things change and there are quest givers there.
I've been told. In fact, let me ask you one more question, and then we'll go into the depths, because I want to get your opinions on the depths. But I found 2 great fairies, neither of which I've been able to get anything from. They're asking about a flute before they'll open up. Have either of you sussed that? Or found the fairies, or...
No, I haven't seen any of the fairies yet.
Yeah, I've found 2 grey fairies.
Okay.
Have you got anything from them?
Yeah, they upgrade your armour just like they did in Breath of the Wild.
What flute is it you need?
You don't need a flute. They say that they will come out to music.
The sound of a flute?
Yeah, so it might... Yeah, so the first one I said, I think she said she wanted the sound of a horn. Don't snigger. So there is a so you go into all the stables that you come across.
Yeah.
So I always make a beeline for the stables, because I don't know whether you guys, if you've been, you've both done the Rito section now to some extent. You will have found the news.
Yes, company, that's it. The little newspapers. Yeah, yeah. Sort of.
I met him once, but I haven't actually found the place where he lives yet.
Really?
I don't think so.
Find the original guy in Lookout Landing right at the start, I think, don't you? I need to. So there is a stable right near Rito Village, the nearest stable, which isn't a stable. It's a it's basically the head of, you know, the is it called the Clover Gazette?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
You know, in every stable, there's somebody reading the Clover Gazette, isn't it? You can say, like, what's the news and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you go to this Clover Gazette HQ, which is right near Rito Village, just over from, you know, the bridge that you have to use the acorn to make the fire go whoosh and then glide across to get to Village. Just near that fire, there is a Clover Gazette. So if you go in there, the quest line from that is basically you have to gather the news. So at every stable, there's a side quest that will be something. It will be some quest nearby. There'll be somebody in peril or something like that. You do it. It's all very remarkable. But in one of them, they talk about this band of musicians. And I think, Jim, if you want a more direct clue, check out Woodland Stable.
Okay.
There's a band of musicians there.
I have bumped into them, I think.
If you kind of follow their quest line a little bit, you will do the thing that allows you to get the great fairies out.
Right.
Woodland Stable is where you need to start. And it was doing that actually took me off my beaten track and took me into the center of the map. And I actually unlocked a couple of towers. I think I've only done like 5 of the Skyview towers.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, there's some good ones. You have to figure out how to get access to them. There's some really good ones. Yeah.
Have you guys seen Hyrule Forest yet?
No, I don't think so. I've got the entire map open, but I'm not sure I've been in Hyrule Forest.
No, I've not been in there.
You can't get into Hyrule Forest.
Okay.
I don't know why. So there's like almost like this force field surrounding Hyrule Forest, and you can't get in there.
I haven't seen that yet.
So I'm thinking that must be something. There must be some quest. And near there is these... Have you guys... You probably haven't if you've not been near Hyrule Forest. So have you guys come across the Typho Ruins? And not the side quests around the Typho Ruins? Like, they're like these like stone statues in the middle of a wooded area. And you've got a guy who sets you off on some quests around them.
No, it doesn't ring a bell.
Well, we're doing the Typho Ruins because you get these clues. So he'll say, like, he'll give you a riddle that you have to solve by investigating the statues. It's a side quest, so it'll be in your quest log if you've unlocked it. They're really good fun, and so you do a couple, and then he says, "Oh, come back to me. I'm still deciphering these ruins." So you go.
Investigate the Typho Ruins. Yeah,
they're good fun, and you get some good rewards from them.
The Zonai survey team.
Yeah, the Zonai survey team.
Yeah.
They're good. But I am a little bit intrigued about Hyrule Forest because that's obviously a huge landmark on the map, isn't it? That forest.
Yeah. And the sword, I won't say any more, but the sword does feature in one of the videos that I've unlocked.
Yeah, well, the sword goes back to Zelda, doesn't it, right at the start?
I'm guessing that's obviously going to be linked back to the forest, isn't it?
Linked. See what you did there.
I didn't even try.
So the sword needs to get back into Link's hands. We all agree on that, of course.
Yeah.
If you watched all of the stories, you know exactly how that's going to happen. So
okay. Does it involve the forest?
I won't tell you.
Okay.
I'm invested in the story, which, yeah, like you were saying, Mads, it's, we talked, didn't we, thinking, oh, you know, we don't really play it for the story, but I am invested in it.
Yeah, me too, for sure.
Yeah, I would say I'm more intrigued by it at the moment, but I'm more intrigued by what I don't know than what I do.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I have many more. So I've seen loads of geoglyphs. I do the classic, you know, I see a geoglyph and think, right, I'm heading to that geoglyph. Oh, look at that thing over there.
Yep.
And then I've forgotten where the geoglyph is because I've not marked it. Or I
do that, but I've put so many markers down and I forget what I've marked.
Like, I try to use the stamps on the map, you know, yeah, but then yeah. I forget like what my stamps mean.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's stars for this or it's swords for that. And then I just.
And you just end up turning your map into like an Ubisoft map.
I don't want that.
Icons everywhere.
Yeah, I like that kind of map mopping, but I don't want that in this game.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm just looking at my map now. I've got this heart. I have no idea what it's for, no idea what it means. But obviously means something, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Yeah.
I need more geoglyphs. I need to find more geoglyphs. That is my next course of action.
Right. Where do we go now?
Depths.
I'm going to throw this open to you. Do you want to do temples or depths first?
Let's talk about the depths.
Let's go down in the depths then. Have we uncovered much of it? So I said, what are the depths? Is the depths are basically is this third area of the map, if you like. So we've got a ground level, which is Hyrule, the sky islands, which are obviously up in the sky, and then the depths are this area below ground, accessed through. What would you call it, Chris?
The chasms, they're called.
It's just like chasms, aren't
they? They're called chasms. Yeah, and each chasm, once you find it, becomes like a feature on your map,
and that will lead you then to a different part of the depths. But we can see that it's all one map, and I presume it feels like it is.
I don't know whether it is or not.
Do you not?
I mean, you can obviously get access to the depths at various points on the surface map, but I'm not sure whether the depths is all one contiguous space. I don't know.
I think they are.
Are they?
Yeah. So far, when I've been exploring, it seems that way.
So you think you could walk just from one end to the other?
I think so as well. No. Did you go back to Lookout Landing and speak to Joshua?
I did that before. I mentioned that on the last episode,
and,
I think.
Yeah, but have you been back and spoke to him before? Again?
Yeah.
And he tells you about statues and the statues pointing in a certain direction.
Yeah, I've got that quest to do.
I've been following those.
And so so we're all on the same page here. So these statues are going to lead to a temple down there. So
I found that as well.
You'd think it's all going to be one map.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Is it?
Definitely. There's some fun stuff there where you get to build stuff you can drive on, like mine cars you can drive around and so on. Yeah.
I love driving minecarts. Morpin doesn't like riding minecarts, does he? I mean, how can he not?
It's
like
good in this game. I like it. and there's a section where you drive like huge cars as well into monsters, and it's good fun down there.
Yeah, I mean, there's more fun to be had in minecarts in this game. There's most fun I've had in minecarts since Donkey Kong Country, I would say.
Oh, I was just about to say a lot more fun than in Donkey Kong Country.
But yeah, I'm not sold on the depths.
I'm the same. I'm a little bit torn on it. I don't love it. I'm intrigued by it, but I don't love it.
I'm the same. Heart.
Go on, Matt, sorry.
I'm the same, but there is some good fun. I started exploring down there, like finding that temple was good fun. I found one of our old friends, I believe, from one of the Yiga clan bosses down there and beat him as well. And he's now I'm following him until a new fight with his boss, I think. And
I've seen him a few times, yeah.
Yeah, so lots of good stuff down there as well. But, I mean, it's got to be like that, right? You have this beautiful, beautiful world you can explore, and then you have the depths where you can't really see anything and it's hard to get around, and it's just more enjoyable to stay up on ground, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. It kind of takes everything that I love about exploring the surface and the sky and takes it all away.
Yeah.
True.
Like, it feels so hostile down there. You can't see. The enemies are powerful.
A good thing to do, though, is once you have some proper building skills. Like, have you guys got the entire skill wheel filled out by now, by the way?
No.
Okay, I do.
Oh, interesting.
You get a special skill.
I'm missing one.
You want me to spoil it, or?
Well, just give us a broad as to how you get it.
I think that was actually after the fight with that Yiga guy. Once you beat him, you get a special skill, I think.
Oh, so I'm only missing one.
Yeah, that's the final one that I was talking about. Once you have that, you can more easily build nice things like flying machines you can control and stuff like that. So that makes it more fun to explore. I mean, then you just set your sights on a route you can see glowing somewhere in the distance and build yourself a flying machine and see if you can fly over there.
Yeah.
I think my issue with it is that, so I had one session where I thought, right, I'm going to go and explore the depths. I found a chasm near those Typho ruins, actually. There's a big chasm near there.
Okay.
So I went down there, which is near Hyrule Forest, so kind of northern section of the map, a long way away from the bit where I started down near Hyrule Castle in the depths. I couldn't find any light routes. Like, and that was my problem. So I couldn't find any. I was running into really powerful enemies. I was getting gloomed. I didn't have any healing.
Yeah, there are some tough enemies down there.
I didn't have any gloom healing, and I got pretty frustrated by it. And also, how do you get out of the depths other than fast travel to a shrine?
That's the only way, I think.
But I think you can get up through the light routes, can't you, Morpin was saying.
Can you?
I don't know. I felt like you could climb up out of some areas, but I couldn't see the route. If that
I think
makes
you can
sense.
Use ascend.
By the route?
Of course. Or, yeah.
By the light route, yeah. And I think it would take you up to, you know, those mushrooms on the surface? I think it takes you up through one of those.
Okay.
You know those big, like, mushroom-looking structures?
Yeah, I need to try that.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, I think that's the other thing that annoys me. I try not to use fast travel. Yeah, it's like with Horizon. I try not to use fast travel other than when I have to. So it annoys me the fact that I have to use fast travel to get out of the depths as well. Mm. And I haven't really found anything that exciting down there yet.
Yeah, no, same. I don't think I've found anything that's caught me. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's probably part of it.
But that boss fight with the Yiga guy is actually quite good fun.
But now, now you're saying that, Mads, it's given me something to go and seek out. And obviously, you can seek out this temple.
What I need to do. I think rather than just aimlessly exploring it, which it's not a fun place to aimlessly explore.
No, you're probably right.
No.
So I think what I need to do is kind of almost use a quest like that one that I've now got in my log. I've just not done it yet to see if that can, because once you open up the light routes, obviously then makes everything a bit lighter, just makes it a bit more. And they operate as little waypoints, don't they? I can see one in the distance there. I'll go and find that one, you know, and that gives you at least some kind of structure to what you're trying to do. But Mads, you'll see there is a main quest that is down in the depths.
Okay.
Is in the gym.
Which one?
Fire Temple is in the depths.
Oh, it is. Yes, you're right. Yes, sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which was the reason why I asked whether it was all one big contiguous space, because if it is, and obviously the game will be designed in a way where I'm sure you can't do this, you could just go and stumble upon the Fire Temple.
I don't know if you can, though, because it feels like maybe some areas are locked off through, like, lava or something like that.
It must be.
Yeah.
That you could probably get through if you'd got the right equipment or the right stamina to build your way through it. But probably you wouldn't have that until late game. Because I know when I look at my depths map, I'm it's really sporadic. I've got, like, a bit over here, a bit down there, a bit more over there. Yeah. There's nothing linking everything at the moment, but I don't know, just don't try. But I do feel like whatever's down there is going to be worth persevering with. It's going to be something.
Well,
Morpin key, isn't
said,
it?
Morpin said on Discord, didn't he, that he found, what did he say? He found, the thing that lets you know when you'll buy a Korok seed.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
A mask that lets you know when you'll buy a Korok. That'd be handy.
That would be handy.
I've found loads of them.
Yeah. There's normally one under a rock in there on the glyphs.
Yeah.
I love cashing them in and getting that maracas.
Oh,
you know, that little...
I love that. I love that little jingle.
where do you cash them in? I haven't found him yet. I remember where he was in Breath of the Wild.
So he's gone to Lookout Landing now in mine, and he's just stayed at Lookout Landing.
Yeah, okay. But he's not there to start with, is he?
No, I saw him in a couple of places, and then he moved permanently down to Lookout Landing.
Okay.
Yeah. So you've not increased your inventory size, Matt?
Nope. Not at all.
Isn't it funny how we've all had these different experiences?
Yeah,
Matt has been
yeah.
all over globetrotting.
Yeah.
But you haven't really increased your stamina.
I haven't increased it at all. I haven't increased the inventory, but I do have the 10 hearts now. I'm done exploring just for the sake of exploring now that I have uncovered the entire story. So I'm going to go do some more side quests than main quests now. So.
Yeah. And what do you do with shrines? If you see one, do you make a beeline for it or?
I often, if I see one, I'll just go take it off. But if I'm on my way to a ruin that I already, or a geoglyph I already saw, maybe I'll just skip the shrine and say I'll go back there later on.
Yeah, I always, if I see a shrine, I will always go to it.
I'm like a moth to the flame.
Yeah, I see that little green light and I can't help myself.
I mean, it's beautiful shrines. I mean, the puzzles are great in this game.
Oh, so good. So good.
Especially using all the different new abilities.
Yeah.
Just imagine how hard it is to design a game when you have that ascend ability, for example. There's so many ways of traverse. And when you can build stuff and fly on it and... And if you can put a rocket on a shield and be blasted somewhere, I mean, how do you design a game that takes all of this into account and still makes some great puzzles?
Said
I mean,
last time,
some shrines do cop out and just take all your equipment away from you when you go in, of course, but most of them don't.
We said it last time, didn't we, about designing a game where basically you can interact with everything.
Yeah.
You can pretty much do anything. And how you're so confident that your game isn't going to break.
Hmm.
And I've not had, have you guys encountered any bugs?
No.
I
had one crash, not one bug. It's pretty amazing, really, isn't it?
Hmm.
Yeah, nothing.
Amazing level of polish. Any standout shrines?
Ooh, I have had a couple that I've written down.
Anything just to instantly kind of jump into your mind?
So I've had the ones that are always my favourite are the ones where you go into it initially and you're like, I haven't got a clue. And you're scratching your head. There was one. Let me just try and dig out the name. I think I've got it written down.
The name won't mean anything to me.
It's the John Sal Shrine. This was one This is what you hold. You go in and there's a massive orb and the switch for the orb is on the roof. You have to put the orb, hold it underwater and shoot the force of the orb coming up through the water then forces the orb to hit the switch.
But like I was trying. Puzzle.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I was trying for ages. And it's just out of reach that you can't lift it up to make it contact.
Yeah.
And then so I was thinking, right, well, I'll lift it to its highest point and drop it and bounce it off the water. And then that didn't work. And then, just those little moments.
I think I especially like the shrines that are built around the recall ability. So we need to take something, make it go back in time a bit and then lose it and then let go of it there so that it falls somewhere else. And I mean, because, of course, the recall... It does exactly what it did. You just run it backwards in time, but when you release it, the momentum that it had initially is lost.
Yeah.
So if somebody is traveling, if an orb is traveling from right to left, and you take it back a bit, and then you let go, it'll fall directly down.
Yeah. Yeah.
So wrapping your head around how to solve puzzles using this ability is such good fun.
Yeah. I particularly like it when you've got to use a mixture of recall and Ultra Hand.
Yeah.
Because you can still manipulate things, can't you, with Ultra Hand whilst things are being recalled. So that's cool, like where you have to change the state of the world whilst it's changing through recall. There's a couple that come to my mind. There's one where... You guys come across that one where you have to light the balloons to raise...
Yes, and I felt like I did that in a completely ridiculous way that I shouldn't have been able to do it, but it worked.
That's what's so cool about solving these puzzles when you feel like, I've got one which I'll talk about in a sec, where I just felt like there's no way anybody would have done it that way. And I bet you loads of people have. But yeah. It makes you feel like that you're the only person in the world who's ever done it. That one with the balloons was the first round that really had me stumped. I couldn't work out that I knew I had to get up to a higher platform. I just couldn't work out how I would get there.
Yeah.
And obviously what you've got to do, you've got to stand on the board. I mean, it sounds dead simple now when you say, but you've got to stand on the board, you've got to and then you've got to attach one of the fire spitters thing to the balloon, put balloons in the corners of the platform.
Yeah.
But and then it, honestly, when that platform went up and I got the little, it was just like I put the controller down and be like, right.
But mine went up so slowly as well. I was up there waiting for it just to get to the right height that I could grab it and jump lift it over them. Yeah. Have you found the one with it's like a roller coaster track and you have to build a cart to go around the roller coaster?
And you sort of about that. I've done that in the depths though, but yeah.
Oh yeah, it must be.
Oh,
yeah,
you've done that in the depths, have you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I wonder whether you might have actually been close to the fire temple if you did that.
Okay.
Interesting. Because you do something like that in the run up to the fire temple, you don't you?
Yeah, Jim? Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Sorry, Jim, go on.
No, but yeah, so this is basically a shrine with that. You can see the track and you can see the little sort of the end of the shrine off in the distance. And you have to build a little cart that sort of that will stay on the track. As you sort of navigate it a couple of times, obviously you build it and it just, your cart just flies off as the track goes right. Your cart goes left, sort of thing. But yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one. Yeah.
There's one where you go in and you've basically got this ball, which is this huge stone ball, which is being fired across from one side to the other. Does that ring a bell?
It does. Go on.
And you have to stand on the ball and allow yourself to be fired. It's called, like, the little blurb that you get in is called something like manipulating velocity or something like that. You get that little clue, don't you, when you go in?
Yeah, yeah. Or you'll say, like, yeah, momentum or something like that, wearing it. And
I reckon I was on that for about half an hour. I think it is called momentum or something, or momentum and gravity or something. And there was a little box in the start which changed the gravity. And I didn't realise that you could interact with this box, but if you hit it, it makes gravity lighter. And basically what you have to do, you have to stand on the ball and allow yourself to be fired to get through to the next section. I reckon I was on that for about an hour. But I refused to look at it and a guide. I just refused.
Yeah.
And in the end, you know, you get there, don't you?
Because that's the thing with the shrines, isn't it? You know that the answer's contained within that shrine. And
yeah,
so
exactly.
You'll get it eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I spent at least half an hour in another shrine where there was one of those giant stone balls. It was coming out, rolling down a platform, and then just going into nothing, and then a new one would come.
Yeah.
And you need to build... You had this mechanism of a pillar that could just flip itself 90 degrees when you push the switch. So you need to build something that when you push it on the right at the right point in time, you'll just whack that ball and it'll just fly over and touch a hit a ramp and then hit a switch on the other side of the room. Took me half an hour building the right thing just to get that to work. I had good fun doing it.
I don't know about you guys as well, but I like to do things just right. You know, I like, you know, but there's one where you have to, another one where you have to build like a hammer where you, and you attach this hammer to this thing which turns really quickly and then it hits a target. And I had to get that hammer, I had to be just right. And I didn't like it if it span in like a wonky way. I wanted it to spin just right.
Yeah.
I was like, right, I'm going to start again.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just that, what was that game that you played on the Game Club? It was the Amiga game.
Incredible Machine.
That's
it. DOS game.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it was DOS, was it? Sorry. That's it. Yeah, yeah. And that's what this is, isn't it, basically? Or a lot of them are. Those 3D
versions. It's so satisfying, though. Because
it's so good.
You just feel like there are, like that one I was telling you about, I can't remember the exact details now, but it was, you had to cross a lava, it was one of the, It was one of the temples where you had that. So I've now discovered the control zone eye thing, which allows you obviously to control. And that is so much fun.
And have you found the dispenser for that as well?
Yes.
Yeah. So you can get as many as you want.
Yeah, I've stocked up. So I've actually found, I think I've found one in the sky and there's one in the depths I've found.
Oh, okay. I've only found them up in the sky. So that's interesting.
Yeah, so I've got a few of them now. But actually, mechanically, the ones with wheels, actually, they control. It all controls pretty well, doesn't it?
Yeah. I built a few cars and had a run around.
But there's one of them where you have to use the cars to go across lava, and then you get to the end, and you've got these platforms are coming towards you, big pool of lava. Platforms are coming towards you. And I think the idea is that you have to use recall to get yourself on a platform and then go backwards, basically, across the lava. But I did it by jamming them up. So I used a bit of recall and a bit of ultra hand, and I ended up creating a bit of a dam on these platforms and just creating a bridge.
Nice. Yeah.
And I kind of did it by accident at first. And then I was like, hang on a minute. If I do this a couple more times, I'm going to build a bridge. And that's what I did. And I just walked across the lava.
Yeah.
And I put on Discord, actually. I was like, I've just done something. I said, I can guarantee that the devs didn't think of this. And then I thought, yeah, they probably did. But it does. It makes you feel like you've done things which even the people who made the game probably didn't think of, when quite clearly and blatantly, you know, it was a way of solving the puzzle.
Yeah.
But the amount of player choice, we said last time about the possibility space in the game, I mean, it feels infinite.
You kind of you're limited by your imagination, aren't you, almost? And obviously, and your stamina wheel and the devices that you've got. But if you've got, certainly late game, when you've got all those, you've got your devices, you've got your stamina wheel and everything else, possible battery upgrades if there are there. Do you know, you are just limited by your imagination.
Yeah. What have you guys explored, like on purpose explored the Sky Islands, or are you just doing them when the opportunity arises?
I just do it when the opportunity arises, really. Yeah. I mean, when I've seen all the towers, of course, so when I blast it up into the sky, I'll just have a quick look around and go to wherever I can fly and have a look there.
Yeah. Yep, same. I found a really good shrine, actually, by doing that. Yeah. By accident, there was one. I went over to a Sky Island, and it was only because I didn't have the momentum. I aimed at the bottom of the Sky Island, which then had like a little cave where I burnt away the entrance. It had loads of zone eye things in there to build a flying machine.
Right.
And there was a green crystal in there, and it activated the green crystal, which then fired off a laser in the direction of another island.
Yeah.
Attach the crystal to the flying island, to the flying device, take the crystal to the island, and then you get a shrine.
Mm.
Yeah, brilliant. Nice. Just little things like that, man.
I think I've done like three or four shrines that are just to move a crystal to somewhere, and then that's the shrine. Yeah.
You get a shrine quest, don't you? There's like shrine quests linked to some of those things.
Okay. Yeah.
Like there's one, I think, in the Fire Temple, or is it the Wind Temple? There's one of them where you have to attach. You basically have to create a bit of a chain of things attached to it so that you can reach it with your ultra hand. There's a shrine quest linked out where there's a crystal in the water that you can't reach.
Oh, I don't think I've seen that.
You have to fuse something to the crystal, and then you can then pick up the crystal, basically create a handle for it.
Yeah.
And take it and it unlocks your shrine. And then every now and again, you get a shrine where there's no challenge. I think it's called Raru's Gift or something.
Yeah, that's it,
And it's a chest, and it's...
I found a really good one of those. It was a level 50 shield.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Blimey, I've not seen a shield that powerful.
Yeah.
You guys enjoying creating some of the funky weapons as well with the fuse?
I am now, It's got a lot easier. What about you, Mads?
And you get some really, really good upgrade material by now, right?
Some
of the horns and stuff.
The zone eye stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, what I find is best is the monster horns.
Yeah.
I mean, when you get some of the black monster horns, for example, they pack a lot of punch. So, yeah, I like that mechanic. It means that even though you're only wielding like a stick, you can still actually do some major damage.
Yeah.
I mean, even a branch fused with the right can. I mean, it's going to break pretty quickly, but it can pack a punch.
Yeah, I like the long sticks, and then put a horn on it. For example, you can just poke stuff. Me, it works perfectly.
Yeah, and then if you fuse those with like some of the crystals as well, like opal, there you get like your water effects from your weapon as well. And
I've been selling all of those crystals. I thought that was what I was supposed to do with them.
I think I think you can sell them for rupees, but
yeah.
If you fuse like the electric topaz, then you'll get like an electric weapon.
Ah, I didn't know. I find actually in this game that you don't have a lot of money. I mean, the crystals are hard to come by. So I've just been selling those things instead to buy clothes, for example.
So I think diamonds, although you can fuse them, you get a really powerful upgrade with them, but they give 500 rupees if you sell them.
Yeah, I don't think I've found any diamonds yet.
Oh, I've found a few. So I'm at the moment, I'm looking at my Switch now, I've got 1,700 rupees, which is the most I've had.
Blimey, I'm permanently around like 200 or 300 or something like that.
I think I bought most of the clothes in the retail village, and that was all of my money.
Has that so far given you complete resistance to the cold?
No, I think I have 2 out of 3 resistance, probably.
Yeah. See, because that's the thing, isn't it? I think you need to have a full set to get complete resistance.
Yeah.
Because in the wind temple, I was still having to pop meals because I only have one of the pieces of armor.
Yeah, same.
But yeah, the boss monsters, like I beat a Hinox. Attached the...
You've beat a Hinox already, have you, Fifth?
Wow. Yeah, I've beaten a Hinox, and got one of the... So a Hinox horn attached to a wooden stick gives me a Hinox hammer, which gives me high durability.
I've got full cold resistance, it seems. I'm just checking it out. Nice. Yes, I do have all 3 parts of that.
That'll make a big difference for you in the Wind Temple, because in the Wind Temple...
That's where I'm going, so that's good.
I had to get out of there a couple of times and stock up on... Don't you find, though, like with this game, like it's about preparation. Like if you're going to fight a powerful enemy and you know you are, you make sure you've got the right meals, increased defense and everything else, and you've got a good stock of arrows and... it's just about preparing, isn't it?
You know me, Chris, I always go in unprepared. So I'm often entering these things with the too few arrows and no food at all because I haven't prepared anything. And food, just trying to get by.
Yeah, food and elemental protection. Yeah, I was on the Discord. I just kept dying. I was running out of, and I didn't realize that I could fast travel back into the Wind Temple until you said that, Chris. Yeah.
I'd like to get some more recipes, like proper recipes. Like I am messing around with the food and experimenting, but I don't feel like I'm getting great results from
what
I'm doing.
Are you holding up the signs for the builders that you come across?
Yeah.
And then they'll give you like an item, and I think that drops into your
recipes
then.
Yeah.
Okay.
You need to use like some of the more exotic ingredients, don't you? Like you need to think about, well, what makes a pie? I need some, you know, I need some pastry.
Those little lizards that stick on the walls in the caves. Yeah.
Yeah, they create elixirs though, don't they?
That's it. So yeah.
I haven't made a single elixir yet.
Oh, have you not?
Just use monster parts.
Okay, just cook with monster parts?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll try that.
Yeah, we talked about that last time, didn't we? Yeah, but just cook with, to be honest, they do the same thing, but it's an alternative to food.
Okay. Yeah. If you use your food, then you'll get your elemental perk and a few hearts, don't you, depending on what you put in there, yeah.
Mm. The elixirs will give you things like kind of, you can, I think I had a 15-minute cold resist with an elixir.
Speed boosts, climbing, stamina, climbing when climbing the walls speed. Are wet and slippy.
Yeah, gliding duration and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Gliding speed as well. So, some good stuff.
Yeah, which I suppose kind of leads us into the temples. So temples are back in a fashion, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like Ocarina of Time.
Well, not really.
Not really.
Not really.
No. But they are proper Temple Zelda Knight. Dungeons, though.
Yeah, they are.
Well, they're not. They are and they're not. I mean, yeah. you don't get a compass.
No, or you get your map. You do get your map, but you don't have to find it. Yeah.
But there is the occasional key.
There is, but there doesn't seem to be any items, or I've not come across any like boomerangs and things like that in there yet.
No, you're not going to get that. Because the abilities are basically the items, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. The two that I've done have followed a similar sort of pattern where you're unlocking. You've got like five locks.
Yeah.
To unlock or so
is
many
it the
locks.
Same in the water temple, Matt?
Yeah, yeah. I think four or five locks you need to unlock. I mean, it's not really locks in this temple, but you need to unlock start some things. Yeah.
And I presume each temple is going to have an elemental theme. So like in the wind temple, obviously it's up in the sky, so you need to have like lots of cold resistance. The fire temple, you're in a volcano, so you need lots of heat resistance.
Mm.
And I'm guessing there's something like that in the water one as well, Mads.
Not really. You don't need any resistance of any sort, actually. It's you need to clear their water, as I said. There's something wrong with the water, so that's what you're fighting to do. And there's lots of water there, of course, but that's it.
So have you enjoyed the temples, Jim, without going into too much detail here, because Mads hasn't played either of them? Did you enjoy the puzzly nature of them?
I did, and I didn't. I enjoyed certain elements of them. So part of the temple is getting to the temple as well.
Definitely part of it, especially with the Bloody Wind Temple.
Yeah, that's the fire trick, one as well. The fire's got a marathon lead up to that.
Really? Do you think?
I felt like it. Yeah, you know when you ride in the little mine carts, the little rail carts around and stuff to get to.
Yeah. Where I think Mads might have been close to it. I didn't find the fire temple approach though anywhere near as long as convoluted as the wind temple one.
The wind, and the wind temple was. It was more frustrating because you didn't have the stamina. So if you missed that, the runs between the jumps. Do you know what I mean? When you get to for me, it was the bit when you get to the jumps between the ships.
Yeah. But do you know what I found? Like, I kept forgetting about ascend.
Yeah, same.
So
same.
I was trying to climb up the structures, whereas you just need to ascend up. And I feel like I'm there with it now. But I was desperately trying to climb up this structure, getting so close to the top. Yeah.
I'm at the wind temple right now, and I have one stamina, the original stamina circle there. So
you didn't forget about ascend then?
I probably have to remember at least.
Have you done any of the locks?
This is on the approach to the wind temple.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you done any of the locks yet, Mads?
No, I'm not at the actual temple, I'm just on my way there.
I was scratching my head for a couple of those locks, just where they were.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know exactly. I won't say it because it'll be a spot, but I know exactly why you were struggling. There is one very specific thing that you have to do to get to some of the locks.
Mm.
And if you don't necessarily think about it because it involves something that's a little bit counterintuitive. We'll talk about it next time.
Yeah, we'll do it on the next one.
In a bit more detail. Yeah. How did you find the bosses, Jim, that we've encountered so far?
I enjoyed the Wind Temple boss. But it was really straightforward. It wasn't difficult, but it was a nice set piece. I enjoyed the set piece.
Puzzly kind of boss.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And the Fire Temple?
Fire Temple, I struggled a little bit with. It took me a few goes. I didn't get that one first time.
I got smashed the first. When I went in, I only had a couple of hearts. I got one-shotted.
Once I sussed it, then it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Again, and then it was just a case of getting the progress to beat him.
I mean, you know you're going to have to use your companion's gimmick, right? I mean, I imagine it's the same in the Water Temple.
Yeah, you won't get anywhere without that.
Once you figure out how it tends to be. I did burn through a lot of healing items on the Fire Temple boss, though.
But, I mean, comparing it to the older Zeldas, you know what you need to use when you go into these battles.
Yeah, you do.
So, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I've just had a thought. I'm intrigued to know. So obviously when you complete a temple, you'll gain a companion.
Yeah.
And they are
Can you only have one effective at a time?
They both follow. So I've got two and they both follow me. They're both following me around and whoever I talk to will give me a move.
Okay. Cause I've saved immediately after the fire temple. So I've not done any exploring.
Okay. Yeah. So they're both. So I've got two following me around and if I chat to one, it will do one thing. And if I chat to the other, I'll get the other person's. These are the descendants of these secret stones the holders of the secret stones.
I think it might get a bit cumbersome when we've got four of them following.
Possibly, mate. Yeah. And it feels like, can you remember, like on the other Zelda games, by the time you hit that last temple, your item inventory is full, and you need to use every single item.
That's good though, right? Isn't it? Because it's almost like a skill check, isn't it?
We'll get something like that, won't we? And
could you think it will be?
I presume
the end
it's Hyrule Castle we'll get to at the end.
I mean, do you think it will be the four? You know, the four main dots on the map, you know, the four temples.
Yeah, I presume they're going to be your followers.
Ganon's castle, and then that's it.
And whatever's probably in the depths.
Do you reckon?
There's a temple in the depths, isn't there? That we know about that. We don't know where it is, but they told us there's a temple in the depths.
What?
Yeah.
What, a temple?
Where all these statues, you follow the gaze of the statues, and it'll take you to a temple.
Does it, Matt?
It does, but I'm not sure whether it's a temple like we were talking about the temples right now with the boss fight and so on, or whether it's just some quest that will give you some pickup or whatever.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm interested to know. I don't know.
I don't want it to end.
I know. This is it, isn't it? It feels like...
I don't want that to be the end. Like, I don't want it to just be you do the four things and then you go to the middle and you go to the castle and that'll be it. I mean, although, to be honest, I mean, at my run rate, that's going to be north of 100 hours. So maybe I'll be ready for it to end.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So you've got someone following you around at the minute, Mads?
Yeah, I have.
Who's obviously, they're obviously water-based. How does their skill impact?
Don't say how it, I don't want to know. I'll mute myself if you're going to tell him.
No, I'm not going to tell him then.
No.
So one question I would ask, though, is, has it been useful in the overworld? Have you found uses?
Yeah, that's a good, better way of putting it, yeah.
Not really yet, no.
Okay. Because the one that you find from the Wind Temple is definitely useful.
Okay.
Just in general traversal. Really useful, in fact. I wouldn't have got to the Lome ruins in the sky without that ability. Okay.
So he can kind of like... blow some wind at you, so
well, maybe.
Actually, I know that he can because he's following me right now already. In alive instead of in spirit form. So
yeah, exactly. So you get that ability. Obviously, as you'll know, and that comes in dead useful when you're gliding and you want to go in a particular direction.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Getting a little blow. No,
but the ability you get from the Sora Prince is nothing of that kind. It's not that usable, but it's usable for the boss fight and. Probably for other stuff as well. Yeah.
So what have we got? We've got Dorito, where the wind.
Yeah.
Goron, fire.
Yeah.
Zora.
Yeah. The water. Gerudo.
Gerudo. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait for that music in Ocarina of Time.
We need to get into some cross-dressing, I guess, before we get there, like last time.
Oh, yes, in Breath of the Wild, that's right. Yeah, you had to dress up as a Gerudo, didn't you, to get access to it? Yeah.
You have to be a girl.
Breath of the Wild. Because you do that in Ocarina of Time, don't you?
In Breath of the Wild, you have to dress up like as a girl, otherwise you can't enter the city.
In Ocarina of Time, you had to go stealth, and then you get put in prison, break out the prison, and then you have to stealth your way around again.
I wonder if we'll have to do the same thing. Actually, I don't remember that from Breath of the Wild.
Oh, yeah, you got a full set of, what was it, like belly dancer clothes?
That's right, yes.
Wonderful, yeah.
Yes, I remember that, yeah.
It's still definitely making me want to replay Breath of the Wild after this.
Yeah, it's a great
game. Have you been to the to where you started out yet? The Great Plain in
the Great Plateau.
The Great Plateau, yeah. Have you not been there yet?
Is it there?
It's there. Okay. Yeah. And where you start out.
Oh yeah, I've been there. Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah. Where you start out and cross that river in Breath of the Wild, and then you go up into the mountains, and that's your first sort of port of call in it in Breath of the Wild. Just those memories just came flooding straight back.
Yeah. And is that like church, the temple? Is it the Temple of Time that's there?
Yeah, it's kind of broken these days, but it's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've not found the cave yet, though.
No, me neither.
I've not found the cave.
Enter that.
We ought to issue a bit of a correction, haven't we? Someone quite rightly corrected us. I think it was corrected me. I think I said in the last episode that
the timeline is set
100 years after the events of Breath of the Wild. It's not, is it, Mads? You have more of a handle on this.
No. I'm thinking it's just set a few years, maybe 1 year after.
Yeah, we think it's set,
But the 100 years, I think it comes from what you're thinking about is that when you start Breath of the Wild, Zelda has held Ganon in check for 100 years. And Link has been being revived for those 100 years, I guess, getting back into shape magically.
So it's 100 years after the calamity Breath of the Wild is. And this is set somewhere between 5 to 10 years, we think, after the events of Breath of the Wild.
Or maybe just 1 year. I've got no idea. But it's just after.
Yeah, but it makes sense because he's well known. Have you guys done any of those quests where you find like the band of soldiers going to clear out the moblin camps? And Link is he's a legendary swordsman at this point. Is he like, oh my god, you're here to help? Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
they're proper side quests, aren't they?
The legendary swordsman just whacks monsters over the head with a branch instead.
Not so legendary.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. I can't wait to get back to it. So what are we doing now, Jim? Are we going to the end of the game?
Well, I was going to throw it out to you guys. So the options are we go to the end of the game, which leads us into having a bit of a marathon last episode, really, where we've sort of cruised around the shrine, around the temples, haven't we? But we'll have done all the temples, so we could go into those a little bit more if we wanted to. I would think we'd be better coming back in like another 30 hours, and then go to the end of the game. So 30 hours when we've done all four temples, and then go to the end of the game.
I definitely think there might be something to be said of reconvening once we've done all four temples, rather than putting a time on it, because then we'll all be roughly in the same place. We're predicting here that we think the end game will follow.
Yeah. So maybe, at that point, everybody should have uncovered all of the story points and done the temples, so we can talk about the temples and the story. That'll be fine.
Well, why don't we reconvene then once we've done all four temples and at least found all the geoglyphs and imagine?
And the geoglyphs. Yeah, that's a good idea, yeah.
So when we found all four, and then we can chat about what the geoglyphs have uncovered. We can chat about what's revealed by the temples.
We can chat about getting lost in the fire temple.
And
until you told me how to break it, and then I was all right then.
Yeah. But it sounds like Mads is not going to have that luxury.
No, he definitely won't. No, you are going to get lost,
Mads. I would
say, Mads. You are going to get lost.
Don't upgrade your stamina before you go to the fire temple.
Okay, why?
Because I think you'll have more fun in that temple.
I don't know if you will.
You can basically break it just by climbing everywhere if you've got enough stamina.
Yeah.
But I don't get the feeling it's meant to be played that way.
I think it is.
Let's see.
I made this point on Discord about I reckon one of the big challenges in this, where you have a thing, and it was the same with Breath of the Wild, you basically can tackle any of these dungeons, these temples, in any order.
Yeah,
you fight the bosses therefore in any order. It must be really difficult to make it accessible enough that you can do any of them first, but challenging enough that it still presents an interesting thing to play through if you do it last.
Yeah,
must be really difficult to do that.
Yeah,
and I definitely think the fire temple is a lot easier if you have lots of stamina.
Okay,
and there's an enemy in the fire temple in a cave that felt very much like a late It felt later than I was. So it kind of felt like maybe the Fire Temple shouldn't have been my second temple.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say, isn't it? I mean, I feel like I'm doing it in a way that is almost canonical. Like because obviously you're told to check out Riso Village first.
Yeah, yeah. And
I forget.
Yeah, it's suggested.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
In Lookout Landing. Okay. So I reckon the majority of people probably go there first. It makes sense then to
Midna's over that way as well, and it kind of tells you to go and speak to Midna, doesn't it? So Midna's kind of en route to that place.
Who's Midna?
Yeah, who's Midna?
Is it Impa?
Impa,
sorry. Impa. Oh. Midna's from Twilight Princess. Yeah, my Zelda's mixed up. Yeah, Impa. Impa's on route to
I reckon most people would go to the next closest one, which would be the Goron. I reckon actually we're probably playing it the way, you know, the canonical way almost. I don't reckon it matters. In fact, I kind of wish I might just do something completely random and go to the one right down on the far side now, the extreme south.
The Goro.
No, that was
the Gerudo.
I'm excited to see whether going into the Goron country, where everything is, of course, hot and on fire, is going to be helped by the fact that I have a guy that has something to do with water by my side.
Ah, maybe.
Could be.
You might want to take off those cold weather clothes, I reckon, Mads, before you go to the Goron. Poor old Link might
just go frolicking
those.
In my shorts. Just be good.
I think that might come in handy then, Mads, because, yeah, there's some Zonai equipment that you end up having to use.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So we're going to reconvene then once we've done all four temples and we've got all the geoglyphs that we can. So I think there's 9 geoglyphs, isn't there? Once you've done all 9 geoglyphs, all four temples.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Pause there. And we're anticipating that from there, it will be almost kind of the end game next.
Yeah. You'd expect us to be, north of 80, 70 hours.
Yeah, I would have. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in my current run rate, I'm expecting 80 to 90 hours at that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Right. Anything else before we head back to Hyrule?
No, mate. Just looking forward to it, actually. Haven't played it for, 14 days now?
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
You're going to have forgotten all the moves. That's one thing I will say, actually. I am still mixing up the controls.
Okay.
But looking at your two faces, I'm on my own here.
Yeah, I've gotten used to it by now. It took a while though.
Instead of opening, You know where
you're pressing the right bumper instead of the left bumper to bring up the. I do the same.
Yeah, so I'm doing it now. So, instead of bringing up your moves...
You go to throw something.
I go to throw something, yeah.
Yeah.
How many times have you launched a valuable weapon?
Yeah.
Luckily, you need to hold it down for a while for it to actually be launched.
Yeah.
Well, you can cancel out of it by pressing the B button, but in the heat of battle, I have launched many a weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I haven't played mine in handheld mode once, so I'm playing it with the pro controller and handle at all times, so getting used to controls there.
Yeah, I'm playing it. I would say I've played it 80% docked with the pro controller.
Mm.
I've stopped noticing the framey bits as well using the powers of you guys. I mean, I think I've just got so used to it.
I haven't really noticed it once, anymore. but maybe that's just me.
Switch 2 could be revealed, guys, by the time we next convene.
Yes, hopefully.
Tears of the Kingdom 2 at launch.
Probably not.
Tears of the Kingdom DX, won't it?
Hmm.
We might have to do some kind of playthrough, kind of reactionary waffle if it is a Switch 2, because I think all four of us are there. I think we're pretty partial to our Switches, aren't we?
Yeah.
These days.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll definitely be a day one for me.
I see. That's going to be book a day off work. Like I did for the first Switch, booked a day off work.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those.
Super Mario Odyssey 2, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any shout outs, guys, before we wrap up?
Matt?
Shout outs to Andy. Looking forward to having him back on the team very soon on the next guest. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out for me to guys at Retro Asylum. Usual thank you to Dean for the cover. But a big thank you to the Discord crew as well. We had a few new joiners recently. It's always a good laugh over there, a good giggle. Both on Playthrough and Retro Asylum. It's nice to see. This is one of our guys from Playthrough joined us at Retro Asylum as well this week, which is nice. Romero Sierra.
Yes. Yeah.
It's good, isn't it? Because, you know, I get the impression everyone's playing Breath of the Wild. Tears of the Kingdom is such a big undertaking, so I don't think everybody is playing along with us.
Yeah. It's a huge commitment, isn't it?
Even those that aren't joining in the chat as well. Because, it's a game that at least everybody has heard of, even if not everybody has played. So feel like there's enough probably knowledge about it to join in the chat. So, yeah, big shout out to them, everyone who listens. You, Jimbo, expertly stewarding through this massive game.
And, fumbling my way through. Good stuff. Right, I imagine we'll reconvene in a couple of weeks' time on the verge of completion.
Yeah, next Tuesday, right?
Next Tuesday. Go steady over the weekend, Mads. Don't burn out.
Yeah, my lord.
Remember to go to bed.
I will. I'll try at least. But then I'll just be playing Balatro. And for God knows which reason, I've got no idea.
Nice one. Right, we'll catch you in a couple of weeks. Yeah. Cheers, everyone.
Cheers, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.